How many of you can remember what we talked about last week on Sunday night in our series on crises of the day? What was the subject that we took up? Anybody? Yeah, socialism, yeah. What does the socialist believe salvation is? You remember that from last week? Possessions. If we can redistribute wealth, we'll save the universe. Everybody will be saved. Everybody will be in fine situation. That's a utopian viewpoint, of course. It never has worked. It has not worked in any socialist country. As a matter of fact, some of the ones that were deeply involved in socialism have tried to go back to a capitalistic program because they've had to find wealth. It was all gone. He used it all up. And so it's really a nonsensical plan that's been put together by people who are trying to find another way of salvation. All right? They don't think of salvation as in the future. They think only in terms of the earth. All right? We got to save our earth. That's what environmentalism is all about. It's save our earth. That's what economic systems about, Keynesian economics. It's all about saving the earth, saving each other. And so we need to understand that if we're going to be able to answer biblically some of these questions that are constantly thrown in our face. Would you turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3? I want to read again our passage that we looked at last week, and we'll look at one other, and we're going to get into a second problem, scriptural problem with socialism tonight, and that is that socialism punishes virtue. Socialism punishes virtue. Let's look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning at verse 6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us. For we behave not ourselves disorderly among you, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power, or the better translation is authority. We have the authority to receive money from you, to carry on ministry, and to conduct ministry. But the point was this, to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, everybody say out loud the next phrase, neither should he eat. That's a simple principle. It's not followed today, but it's a simple principle. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are doing what? Being a busybody. All right? Now them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Separation is not about counting people as enemies. If you do that, you're not practicing biblical separation. That's a hard thing for people to get a hold of. They treat them like the enemy. They're the enemy. No, the Bible says, count them not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. In other words, you're continuing to admonish. All right? You're continuing to speak to him. Though you're not on a fellowship level, you still speak to him because you're concerned about him as a brother in Christ. You want him to come back. You want him to work. You want him to provide for his family. Flip over to 1 Timothy chapter 5 for just a moment. Look down at verse 17. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the Scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. Against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Them that sin rebuke before all that they also may fear. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one another, doing nothing by partiality, lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of another man's sins. Keep thyself pure, drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake, and thine often infirmities. Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men they follow after. Boy, there's a lesson about consequences we're talking about this morning. Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men they follow when? Consequences come afterward. You see it unfold. All right? Likewise, also the good works of some are manifest beforehand, and they that are otherwise cannot be hid. Interesting thing about good consequences. It says right there, those that have good works of some are manifest beforehand, and they that are otherwise cannot be hid. In other words, you can't hide the goodness of the person that's doing a work. That goodness just comes out and glows and is appreciated by those. There's a verse of Scripture, though, going back earlier, as these lessons were given out, that are more practical. And with all, verse 13, they learned to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. All right? What are those kind of people? They're not working. They're not working. We could go back to earlier verses about the fact that even the widows, before they were given anything by the church, they were to be workers of good things. All right, they were to be well reported of, verse 10, well reported of out of good works if she have brought up children. In other words, the church is not to be socialistic. They're to meet certain requirements. They're to be workers, they're to be honorable people. And so I want to lay this out because those are virtuous things that I just mentioned in all that reading. Virtuous things. Socialism punishes virtue. How does it do that? Well, socialists want to redistribute wealth, all right, to individuals according to their need, regardless of their virtue. Regardless of whether they're lazy and sorry and no good, irregardless of that, we need to give them wealth because we want utopia. We want every man to have salvation. All right? Let's look at some Bible verses here. These are so practical. Proverbs 13:4 says, the soul of the sluggard desireth, but he has what? Nothing. Why does he have nothing? Because Israel was not a socialist state. If they had been a socialist state, everybody would have had something. No. The reason that he has nothing is because he's a sluggard. That's why. But the soul of the diligent, what's the consequence for them? They shall be made fat. In other words, they're going to have everything that they need. Proverbs 10:4. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. Proverbs 18 and verse 9. He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. Different translation. He is a partner to him that is a great destroyer. A waster, a destroyer, someone who destroys, he breaks things on purpose. That's a slothful person. He's no good. Can't trust him. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, but if any provide not for his own, that was in that passage that I didn't read it. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath what? Denied the faith. You know what the faith is? It's the recorded word of God to be believed. They're a denier if they're not providing for their family and is worse than an infidel, an unbeliever. Even unbelievers work. Even unbelievers can take care of their families. But if a Christian does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. That's a biblical thing. That's why it's important for families to step up and take care of their own. Four more verses here. Proverbs 21 and verse 25. The desire of the slothful killeth him. Okay? Now think about that for just a moment. What is it saying there? He's no good. He doesn't get up to go into work in the morning. He just lays there lazily and say, oh, I don't think I'll go in today. I feel sick. Don't you love that? I'm going to tell you something. God has a special way of dealing with those kind of people. He has a special way. You want to know how it's done? Go look in Los Angeles right now, where they've got a rat infestation that's going to bring in all kinds of diseases. They allow them to live on the streets because they can't afford housing. All right, they don't have jobs. Many of them are here illegally. So what happens? It killeth them. What's going to happen when we have a breakout of some type like bubonic plague, which was caused, by the way, way back in the 12th and 13th centuries by what? Rat infestation. People are going to die from that. They've already said that they're very concerned that present-day antibiotics will not be able to work against some of those superbugs, because we've been taking antibiotics, and then if they get this bubonic plague, there's not going to be anything to stop it. You think about that. It killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. Proverbs 20 and verse 4, the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. It's cold outside. I'm not going to go out plow. It's cold. Therefore, he shall beg and harvest, and the Bible says, and have nothing. Now, why in Israel would they have nothing? They were supposed to help those that were needy, but they were not supposed to help those that were lazy. There's a difference between the two. What does socialism say, though? Well, we'll look at that in just a moment. Karl Marx's famous statement, from each according to his ability, to each according to his need. Is that biblical? No, it's not. Though there are Christian socialists that say, oh, that's a biblical principle. They're not reading their Bibles. Proverbs 20 and verse 13 says, love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. In other words, get up. Quit sleeping in and being a sorry, no good rascal. Get up and get busy. Start working with your hands. I spoke to an owner last week, and he said, you know what? He said, I want to give young people jobs. I go up to Milton High School, Pace High School, and I put out flyers. I need workers for the summertime. But he said, you know what? I can't get them up to get to work on time. We serve lunch starting at 10:30, and I can't get them there because they're still sleeping. Now, why is that? Because you got a sorry, no good mommy and daddy. It's summertime. Let them sleep. Somebody needs to walk in there and start cleaning house. Get over that nonsensical way of life. You've just created a good socialist. And you didn't even realize it. Sleeping in all day long. Listen. We need young people that will take up jobs. The military now is thinking of going to Congress to get them to lower the age from 18 to what? Did you read that this week? To 16, because they can't meet their quotas for the volunteer army. They're thinking about going to Congress asking, would you lower the age to 16? You know what they're going to get when they lower it down to 16? What are they going to get? Okay? Can I bring my video game with me to boot camp? Can I bring my favorite pillow? Okay. Can I bring my cookies with me? They're not going to have a clue, because they're the same kids that are goofing off, sleeping all day long, and they don't know how to work with their hands. They don't know how to work with their hands. Mike was telling me, he said, you know, my phone rings all day. We need you to fix this. We need you to fix that. He said, why can't you fix it? Well, I don't know what to do. Well, I don't have any idea. He said he walked in there to a cash register that they said was not working, and he hit the button, the main button. Psh, cash drawer kicked out. What did you do? I hit the button that said enter. He said, problem solving is gone today. Well, let me try this. Oh, no, 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 don't touch it. You might break it. Well, you know, we got to learn how to use a screwdriver and a hammer and and pliers. Well, I'm not going to do manual labor. I'm going to be this, I'm going to be that. I'm never going to have to do that. Guess what? What happens if that falls through? You know, it falls through all the time for people that think they're going to be this and think they're going to be that because they've got high aspirations and they don't have the willpower to work their way through it. They find out they have to do jobs that require some knowledge of using tools. We're ruining our generation today. We haven't taught them the basics of life. A boy that graduates from high school in a home should have already learned how to change out a switch in the house. Change the spark plugs on a vehicle. The girls know how to wash clothes and do things, how to take care of a baby. If you're going to have a baby, wouldn't you like to learn how to do that? Girls need to learn basics of things just like the boys do. Boys need to learn how to take care of kids. We got this idea, well, they don't need to know any of that kind of stuff. You ought to see the doofuses that I walk into. They've got the little plastic thing trying to figure out how to pull it down to put a child on there to change a diaper. What do I do? What do I do? They're sitting there looking through the bag trying to figure out what they're supposed to do, and they don't have a clue. Most of them. Why is that? Because they've grown up in America with a bunch of softies that have not taught them the basics of life and living life. I'm telling you, the Bible speaks to these things. Proverbs 20, verse 30, love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. That's what the Bible says. Open your eyes, get up, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. Proverbs 19, 15, slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep. When you're a sluggard and you're slothful and you don't have any purpose in life, you just sleep all the time, and an idle soul shall suffer what? Hunger. Unless there's somebody over there given to them, all the time given to them. Then they stay in that state. And then you've got a world full of nothings. That's what the Bible has to say. Let's go on. Karl Marx famously said, from each according to his ability to each according to his need. Whenever any institution or government provides aid, it runs the risk of removing what? God-designed rewards and consequences. It can punish those who are industrious by making them pay for those who are not. It can reward those who aren't industrious by giving them the fruits of another man's labor. This is precisely what socialism does. Okay? Socialism. Interestingly, get this. Marx mooched off others his whole life. He was a lazy, indolent man. He wouldn't work and failed to provide for his wife and children when he passed off the scene. Made no provision for them. Aristotle once noted, men start revolutionary changes for reasons connected with their private lives. That's a powerful statement right there. You need to chew on that. You know, we try to think at Grace Bible Church. We want you to think. We don't want you to sit there and say, "I wonder what's on TV after church tonight." Okay? That's what a lot of people do. A lot of people aren't at church tonight because they're still at home and they got their face glued to a screen, whether it's a little bitty one or a big one. We want you to think. Why do men start revolutionary movements? It's because they're seeking something. They want something. The Bible teaches that aid should be tied to what? Responsibility. First, anyone who refuses to work, in other words, they refuse to take up the responsibility of work, should be refused aid. That's not unkind. You see, we've been filled with lying. The universities are teaching that, oh, we got to take care of all these people. That is just horrible what's happening. Some of these people don't deserve to eat. because they refuse to work. Now, I know that there are some people that have disabilities and so forth like that, but I want to tell you something. There's a lot of opportunities out there. But it's too easy to be on the dole, somebody taking care of everything, so I don't have to do anything. What did our passage say in 2 Thessalonians 3:10 through 12? For even when we were with you, this we commanded you. What did he do? He commanded them that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all. Now, it doesn't have any caveats in there with people that only had one arm. All the one-armed people, you don't have to worry about that. All the different other ones. Does he go through a whole list here of all the exceptions? No. What does he do? He says you ought to work. That's biblical. We get some. Well, there's an exception to everything. There's an exception to this. Some people live on exceptions, and they're always included in that exception list. Isn't that amazing? They're always included in that. Next, no one should be given aid whose family can provide for him. So we got somebody that may not be able to provide for themselves. Maybe they've got some kind of a mental disorder. Maybe they've got a physical thing that they cannot work. Who should take care of him? The family. In fact, the Apostle Paul said that a man who fails to provide for his family is worse than an infidel. Well, that's powerful language right there. Worse than an unbeliever who takes care of his family. And the church also required widows receiving aid to have a reputation of what? Good works. If they didn't have a reputation for good works, were they to support the widows? No, that's implied in this statement here. How many people really believe that in churches across America? They don't go there. If she's a widow, she deserves church taking care of them. Wait a minute. No, the Bible puts a caveat in there. They don't have a good reputation. They're not to be supported. So even in dispensing aid, the church rewarded virtue and discouraged what? Vice. Unfortunately, socialism does neither. Number three, socialism endorses stealing. Is stealing biblical? Yeah. Thou shalt not steal. That's what the Bible says. President Barack Obama is famously in 2012 defended his socialist policies in an elementary school, and he came up to a little girl and he brought her up to the front of the class there and said to her, "We've got to make sure that people who have more money help people who have less money. If you had a whole pizza and your friend had no pizza, would you give him a slice?" And what did the little girl say? "Yes, Mr. President, I would give him a slice of my pizza. I would want all the people to have it. And that's what I'm doing as president." There's just a little thing left out. She would be doing it voluntarily. That's not what he was talking about. He was selling a lie. It wasn't going to be volunteer. It was going to be government taking, mandating it, and giving it to somebody else. Big, big difference. President Obama wasn't endorsing people voluntarily sharing their wealth with others. He was endorsing the government forcibly taking a piece of the pie from one person and giving it to somebody else. Put it another way. If you have three cars and your neighbor has no car, the government should be allowed to come in and take one of your cars away and give it to that neighbor that doesn't have a car. You know what I just described? Socialism. Socialism. That's what that is. Government mandated, you do this. We have to make everybody equal. He doesn't have a car. You've got three. You've got too many. Oh, wait a minute. What happened to liberty and freedom? What happened to liberty and freedom? As an American, as a person that is working, if I want three cars, I can go get three cars. Now, it may not be wise to have three cars, but that's not the point. The point is we have liberty and freedom to be able to purchase those things without someone coming along and taking one away from us and giving it to somebody else. That's not Christian, by the way. That's stealing. Socialists do not believe in private ownership and stewardship of property. They'll say it this way: we believe in private ownership, but we believe the government should dictate how those things should be done, how the stewardship of that property is handled, how much taxes you ought to pay. You got a lot of property, you ought to pay a lot of taxes, so that these poor people over here that don't have property and don't have these, they can be taken care of. All right? Some Christian socialists assert that the Bible doesn't either, that the Bible doesn't believe it. I've got some news for those kind of people. It's called reading your Bible. The Old Testament and the New Testament unequivocally affirm private property and its stewardship. We can't even obey the eighth commandment, not to steal, unless you accept the notion of private ownership. If I've got somebody in my backyard stealing my junky lawnmower, I might thank them. Please take it. I'll let you have the headache. Now, Roger told me a joke tonight about this fella that was looking across the lawn there, and his friend had a lawnmower, and it was working. His lawnmower didn't work, and so he went over there and said, "I want to buy your lawnmower." And the fella said, "I'll sell it to you, $250. So he took the lawnmower over to his house, pulled, could not get it started. He walked back over and said, "I thought you told me that this lawnmower would start." And the fellow said, "Well, you've got to cuss at it a little bit. You've got to jump on its case." And he said, "Well, I'm a Christian. I don't cuss." He said, "You keep pulling on, you will be before too long." Yeah. You know, it's an amazing thing. He said, "You know, I'd forgot all those words." He said, "Well, you pull on it a little while, you'll start remembering them real quick." We are called to be stewards of private property. Good stewards of that. We cannot steward our money as Bible commands if the state owns our money, not us. So, for an economic and political system to be Christian, it must protect private ownership and allow individuals freedom to allocate their resources according to their conscience. If they want to give to missions, they ought to be able to give to missions. If they want to honor the Lord in their giving, they ought to be able to honor the Lord with their giving. We're fast moving to a day where they want to take away tax-exempt statuses from churches and Christian ministries because they want the revenue so they can do what? Reallocate it and give it away to others. They don't want you to decide. They want to do it for you. Don't you want a Washington bureaucrat deciding where your money goes? Really? Number four, socialism encourages envy and class warfare. And we're going to stop with this tonight. On a recent Facebook post, Bernie Sanders said this: "Let us wage a moral and political war against the billionaires and corporate leaders on Wall Street and elsewhere whose policies and greed are destroying the middle class of America." Folks, we're living in a hypocritical age. We see circular reasoning everywhere. We see the nonsense that's promoted as intellectualism. And it's just nothing but utter nonsense. A fifth grader with common sense has more smarts than the average socialist. They've never had an honest thought in their life because they won't accept the Bible that in order to eat, I need to work. I want to have a freebie. I want somebody else to pay my way. I want somebody else to pay my college debt. They got a degree in some, you know, aunt that's on the other side of the world that they studied for 3 years, and then they got out with their degree in microbiology or something like that with a specialty in ants or whatever, and they find out there's no job for me. What am I going to do? They won't hire me over there in that other country because they don't have any money. So what do? Well, I'm not going to flip burgers. I've got a degree. You know how many doctorates today are working as janitors in America? Look it up this way. Google it. It'll stun you. Doctorates, master's degrees. They couldn't find jobs in their little teeny tiny specialized area. They didn't think about looking to see if there's actual jobs in that area or not. So they spent $225,000 on their degree, and now they can't pay it off. The government should pay for that degree. No. You know what? Parents, help your kids to have some common sense. When they go off to college, help them out. Say, now listen, don't get a degree in something that you can't get a job in. Get a degree in something that will be beneficial and helpful. Seek the Lord's face about what to do. I've just seen too many of them come down through the years that had all kinds of college debt, and they had a degree that there was no job available for them. You know, I've got to go back to college. Well, why didn't you do it right the first time? You know, just common sense. But we don't have that today. We've got this, and I feel like I should do this. I feel like I should do that. Stop feeling and start thinking. Makes a big difference. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your word. You're so clear in your word. But there's always this push to pass off on the world something that's anti-biblical and call it truth. Socialism is anti-biblical. It goes against all the principles of your word. And yet today it's promoted as the number one thing that this world needs is socialism, socialism, socialism. We've got to make everybody on the same pay scale. And what they do is destroy economies. And they destroy the will to work. And as a result, you end up with a Venezuela. How sad, dear Father, and yet people don't seem to learn from the mistakes of the past. I pray that you'd awaken our people here, that we might know, that we might be able to look to God's Word and know the truth and let the truth set us free. But we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.